Turning with Siyata Nishmai to Perkir Gimel and Mishle, and we're holding in Pasuk Ches, writes the Chochamik Olodom, Kofer Nefesh Ish Oshro, Avarosh Lo Shoma Geora. Kofer Nefesh, literally, a redemption, a pigeon for one's neshama. Oshro, a person's wealth, very often a person could take his or her money, and you can use it as a pigeon anafsho. We know that if a person has to fast for having done an aveira, for example, and it's too difficult to take on an actual abstention from any food consumption, then what can you do? You can go in and make a chesh and make a calculation how much you typically spend on breakfast, lunch, dinner, and have a pigeon anafsho. Go in and be poda your neshoma for that day. Take all the sustenance, and that will kilo take the place of an actual tainus. By redeeming your soul, or for example, anytime you do have avarice and you want to go in and bring about an atonement, what can you do? You can always go in and give money for tzedakah. We saw Shlomo Melech earlier in Perek Yud, and again in Perek Yud Aleph, Shlomo Melech told us, tzedakah tatzim limoves. At the very beginning of Perek Yud, and we saw in Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis, tzedakah tatzim limoves. And we saw later on again in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Tzedakah tatzim imavis, tzedakah giving charity redeems one from misa. And we know in the Sana Tokef recited throughout the course of Yom Noraim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Teshuvah, Tefilah, Tzedakah, Ma'avir, Nesorah, Gezerah, and tzedakah is mamon, and tzedakah is another means of redeeming one soul. So if a person is chai, misa, rachmana litzlan, and you can go ahead and give tzedakah, and that will take the place of the misa, that will be a pigeon asher. So one can always use money, and that can always act as an atonement if you're chayim misa for anything. Or let's say you're did an aveira and Hashem wants to give you yisurim. If you're holding by a certain madrega, Hashem instead will go in and give you money and then take away that money, or he'll ask you to give money to tzedakah, and that will replace the yisurim that perhaps your goof shouldn't have suffered on the heels of having perpetrated a certain wrongdoing. So kofer nefesh ish osher, a person could go in and take his osher, could take his wealth and use it to redeem his soul. Have a rush, but the poor person who's lacking the monetary resources, Lo Shoma Gora, writes the Vilna Gaon. What's this idea? Harosh ain't the moment. A kushukhina, maybe I love Yisurin Klal. If you have a poor person, Hashem's not even going to bring Yisurin, because Hashem's not going to test anyone if you don't have the ability to go out and withstand that test. Anytime Hashem gives an Isayan, as the Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Vayero, an Isayan is Miloshin from the terminology. Hashem only gives you any sign that he knows from the outset that you can pass. He gives you, endows you with the ability to go in and pass any sign. And after having passed any sign, you become a naseless noses ball. Hashem takes you on top of the flagpole, if you will, and has a banner and holds you up to the world and says, look, I'll look at this banner, look at this huge person who was created only in the aftermath of having surmounted the obstacle that I placed in his or her path. And that's an Isayan that's naseless, no says bo. And Hashem only gives you something that he knows you can withstand. Same way we mentioned the Piyasetz Rebbe, and the Yesh Kodesh, who's writing in Pashas Chai Yisorah, quoting his Rebbe Ramanachem Endomi Riminov, and we find the Gemara says in Maseches Brochas, Taf Heyam and Aleph, V'nemar Bris V'melach, V'nemar Bris V'yisurin, Amam Melach M'masekes Esabasar, Ach Yisurin M'markin Esgubah Shalodim, the Torah, writes the Indian of Bris in conjunction with suffering, and likewise in conjunction with salt. Explains the Gemara, same way that salt figuratively sweetens up the meat by taking out the bad stuff, cleansing it. So the Yisurin suffering serve to cleanse the soul, to purge the soul of all impurities, imperfections, and foibles. So why the comparison, why the metaphor, Abedavka to salt? Explains the Piyasetz Rebbe. Now remember, this is Clonimus Kalman Shapira, the Piyasetz Rebbe, who was in the war 40s. He was killed by the Germans, and he watched as he lost his own Hasidim. And he is writing in the Warsaw Ghetto this Sefer, these words, that when Hashem gives you Surin, he doesn't give you 1 ounce more than you can handle. And if you couldn't handle it, you wouldn't get it. But what? If Hashem gives you too little, it's not going to bring out the Gadlus Aldo. Everybody needs Yisurin, because Yisurin form us, and they serve as that melting pot, kilo, purging us and purifying us in the process. So we all need Yisurin. We need the Nisyonos to become that naseless Nosei's bone. And why the comparison out of the salt and the meat, right? So Menachem and Meronov, quoted by the Pius Hatzarabot, because if you're a chef cooking in the kitchen, you know, if you put too much salt in the soup, you're going to ruin it. If you put in too little salt, you won't bring out the appropriate taste. The master chef knows, and you have to put in the precise amount. And the better the chef you are, the know that you can make that cheshven, then I'm only going to put in exactly how much I need to bring out the taste, and not to chalila ruin the dish. So to Hashem Yisparach, who is the master chef, Kabiyachol, he only gives you yisurin that you can handle. He doesn't give you 1 ounce more, 1 ounce less, and that's why it's likened specifically to salt. God knows, if I give you too much suffering, it's going to break you, and God doesn't want to break us. But if I give you too little, it will not bring out the shleimus that you're destined to attain in your lifetime. And therefore, Hashem is the master chef, gives you exactly what you need. So writes the Vilna Gaon, if Hashem gives you yisurin, you can go and redeem the yisurin, so to speak, when you might have been chai nisur, or chai of suffering. And now you can go ahead and supersede that with the money of redemption. So that's only going to work by a wealthy person, a poor person who isn't given the money. Hashem says, and I won't give him yisurin, ain't love him out left those, because he won't have with what to go and redeem it. Maybe yesay yisurin. But not only that, Shlomo Melech was telling us, not only will Hashem Rachmanis and not bring yisurin on him, afilu shim ga'arein Hashemaya halashalei v'shoken, except for his test of anias. Now this doesn't mean that poor people have the light. Doesn't mean that poor people have, but it means that what? And that at least Hashem says, a poor person who has no money, I'm not going to give them necessarily the same yisurin that I give to others. They will have some level, some measure of inner peace, and because they have no way of redeeming it. And therefore, they will not have to listen to the rebuke and the chastisement that I might send the way of wealthier individuals. Everybody has their own tests. But adds the Grah, and even the Tzaddik Omer, everybody needs some level of redemption. Achmet Smosa Podenosa Minusavo. It doesn't necessarily mean money. Same way that Ezehu Osher Asamech always, it very often can refer to the spiritual wealth. A Tzaddik who is filled with Mitzvah Samas and Tovim, truly wealthy, Kofar Nefesh, he will be redeemed, that he might have to pass by the Derech of Gehenim, but his Mitzvahs will come and protect him and cleanse him from any of that suffering. But if somebody suffered already in this world by not having any money, that suffering, and again, of course, it's suffering to be destitute, Rachman al-Islam, to not have money, but that suffering that you endured in this world, well, itself be the kapara that you won't even have to pass by again. And even if you didn't have the mitzvahs that the wealthier colleagues had, at the end of the day, your anias will serve to protect you from Gehenna. And then we know, of course, the Medrash says, Amram Vidu stands by the Pesach of Gehenna. And anyone who has a bris milah, anyone who did certain mitzvahs, Avraham Avinu says, I'm not going to let them into Gehenna. And the question is, if that's who Avraham Avinu is, where's Avraham Avinu's Olam Haba? Why would Avraham Avinu want to spend all this time by the Pesach of Gehenna and making sure that El Chayyidin don't go in? And the answer is, because that is Avraham Avinu's Olam Haba. His Olam Haba is not seeing any of my children having to suffer. That's the greatest Olam Haba that a father can have. And that he doesn't want anyone to suffer. Avraham Avinu was the first Av on the pages of the Torah. And that is his Olam Haba. The same way that Moshe Rabbeinu broke us on the base of an olive after the Jews sinned with the golden calf. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Vayach, what does it mean, Vayachah Moshe? That he grabbed onto a Kodesh Ruch when he said, Hashem, I'm not letting go. Hashem says, but I have to destroy the Jewish people. Herf me many bashvi day. And Moshe says, take away my life instead. Even take away my Olam Haba instead. I want there to be a Klai Yisrael. And no matter what, I want there to be a Klai Yisrael. And even though Hashem says, don't worry, Moshe Rabbeinu, I will go in and start the new Jewish people from you. And Moshe says, that's not the same Jewish people. I want them to be based on Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if they're not, and then even take away my Olam Haba, because that's what it means, Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Moshe, the Arizal says, was a tikkun for Noach. The flood was attributed to Noach. May Noach zosli, that Torah laned in the course of Pashas Noach. And who was the tikkun? Moshe Rabbeinu was a gilgul of the neshama of Noach. And he came to be Mesakein. And Noach, who was lo hisfalo ador, did not daven sufficiently for the people of this generation. Moshe Rabbeinu puts it all on the line. Not only does he daven, but even daven and says, take away my life and take away my life in the next world, all to save the Jewish people. And that's the ultimate tikkun. Hashem says, I'm not going to raise Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give him a great olam haba. But v'mayim mecheinin on the sifracha, he says, if not, then wipe me out from your sefer. Mecheini, of course, the Arizal points out, Osoah, davening like never before that the Jewish people should be saved. And what does the Gemara says? Amakas tafiram and aleph, afilo kilos chacham, afilo betanahi ba. And if a chacham says something, it has to have some fulfillment, some actualization. So Moshe Rabbeinu's name is taken out of Parshas Tetzaveh. And the question, of course, is, why Tetzaveh? His name could have been taken out of any parsha. His name is mentioned in every parsha from the moment of his birth from Shmos through the end of his Osa Brocha. So why is his name taken out of Parshas Tetzaveh Bedavka? Notes the Vilna Gaon. Because if you do the math, the Petira, the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu Zayin Adar, almost always coincides with Parshas Tetzaveh. When did Moshe Rabbeinu leave this world? In the week of Parshas Tetzaveh. And that's the remez, that's going to be the one parsha that his name was taken out. Another answer I saw, beautiful answers, that when did Moshe Rabbeinu say those words? When he was davening for Klai Yisrael on the heels in the aftermath of Mechet Ha'egel. When did that take place? Parshas Kisisa. He said those words in Parshas Kisisa. Hashem says, you know what? I love Moshe Rabbeinu so much, I don't want to take his name out of the Torah. So Hashem says, he said in Kisisa, really I should take out his name? After Kisisa comes Vayakub Akude, I can't take out his name. Okay, let me try now. Vayikra Tzav Shemini, Hashem says, I can't take out his name. Every parasha, all of a sudden then, after you finish the year, and the last opportunity to take out Moshe's name is what? And the parasha before Kisisa is Tetzaveh, Terumah Tetzaveh Kisisa. Only after Hashem makes it through the whole year. And it's the last week, Hashem says, now I'm on the last week, Tetzaveh, what can I do? If he said it, I got to take it. Hashem was holding back. He didn't want to erase his name. And now it's the last opportunity to do so. So Hashem has no choice, Kaviyochah, but to take out his name from Parshas Tetzaveh. But that's someone who davened for a Klai Yisrael like never before, even putting in his Olam Haba on the line. He's willing to give up on his Olam Haba the same way that Avram Avinu, was willing to give up rights from Achanam Asim and Akobay to Mamariam. Avram Avinu was willing to give up not only his son's life, he was willing to give up his entire Olam Haba. And because what? Hashem, if there's not going to be a Yitzhak around, then there's not going to be the continuation, the Hemshech of Klai Yisrael. Who's going to be Megala and Marbek, quote Shemayim in the world? I'm better to go in and take me, but at least let there be a Yitzhak. And still, he was willing to give up everything, and whatever Hashem wants him to give up, that is what a tzaddik really wants. The readiness, the willingness to give up a mamash everything. So that's Avraham Avinu. And by the Pesach Yerim, he doesn't want to give that up. Same way the Maral writes, and Gevurah Sheshet. And we know that Klai Yisrael was on the 49th level of Tumah, and had they not been taken out at that point in time, Kechatzos HaLaylo, they would have tragically sunk to the nadir, to the eternal abyss. They would have sunk to never be. Ask the Maral, Hashem can do anything. So what? So destroy Klai Yisrael and then create a new Klai Yisrael. What's the big deal? Why do you have to take them out? We always say, had Klai Yisrael sunk to level 50, they would have been in big trouble. Okay, so well, so then they would have been in 50, they would have been taken out of the world to start a new world. Explains the Maral, Avada Hashem could have done that. But then it would not have been the same B'nai Yisrael built as the Bonim, as the Binyanim, on the Sharoshim, on the roots of the Abbas and the Emos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We are the B'nai Yisrael. And notice how the nations of the world are called what? The Umos HaOlam. Uma is Miloshim Mi'uma, nothingness. Because they're not built on anything. There's no solid foundation. They're Uma. Mi'uma, they're nothingness. What are we? We're the B'nai Yisrael. Writes the Maral, B'nai Yisrael. Ben is Loshim Binyan. We are the Binyanim. How do you build? You build with stones. You build with an Evan, Avonim. Evan is a conjugation. Yes, we know the Sfarim writes, it's the Remes, Abba Necher Eim Bas Nechdo. But as Rashi brings in Pasuk Vayechi based on Onklus, Evan is when you take the word Av and you take the word Ben and you merge them, you fuse them together. Av and Ben create the word Evan. A building blocks, Av and Ben, and an Aim and a Ben. What is Aim? Aleph Mem. What's the continuation of the Aleph? The base. What's the continuation of the Mem? The Nun. The continuation, Hemshech of an Aim is the Ben. Aleph Mem continues into base and Nun. And that's why the Ben is Loshem Binyan. We are the Bnei Yisrael. We're building on the Avos. And the Mahos writes the Maral of Gevurah Hashem, had we sunk to level 50, we would have had to be destroyed from this world. Hashem would have to recreate us. We'd be a Yisro, but we wouldn't be B'nai Yisro, and that's never the same. Because what makes us so special is that our forefathers were Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what makes us unique, and we don't want to ever sever that tie, that eternal bond, that linkage to those Doras HaRishonim. Same way Rav Dessler writes in Milchem Eliyahu. What are we doing every day when we recite Shemon Esrei? We seemingly are incriminating ourselves. If a person comes into court and they had illustrious lineage and you still did Averis, you're going to be held far more accountable than somebody who grew up in a drug-afflicted society in the middle of Harlem. So why do we announce to Hashem, by the way, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, we're doing damage, we're harming ourselves. Hashem says, well, those were your ancestors, and you still messed up so badly? How can you mess up? What are we doing? Saying, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, right, Rav Dessler, we're announcing to Hashem, Hashem, don't look at me, who I am right now. Yes, I've been doing Averis, but know that in my heart of hearts, who am I? I proudly declare thrice daily, I am a Ben Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are my ancestors, they're in my DNA. Whatever they did, whatever they accomplished, they are in me. And that's the Asor Nisyono Sasas Avram Avinu, right? So Chaim Elozhin, Ruchaim Anovas, Parkei Mishne Gimel. Why is he called Avram Avinu? Because pressed into our DNA, an eternal Roshah, a lasting, indelible impression that says, that became ultimately part and parcel of our DNA, our makeup as well. That's in our DNA. In fact, someone was telling me recently that there was a study done with rats where they took cedar wood and they had rats placed in proximity to the cedar wood. And anytime they sniffed the cedar wood, and they would go ahead and send in a little electric shock until they trained the adult rats. And they knew now to stay away from cedar wood. Anytime they got too close to the cedar wood, they get the electric shock, and then they went ahead and took generations of rats. They took their children and their grandchildren. Even though the Netziv and others write, there's no musik of grandchildren by animals. And we know that they have children. We know Osa v'Yespano, you're not allowed to kill a mother, a cow, and its calf on the same day. We know Shaluach HaKeim, Shaleach HaShalach HaSaim, HaMachulei, Asabonim Tikach Loch. There are relationships between parents and children in the animal kingdom. See Masson and McCarthy's New York Times bestseller, When Elephants Weep, The Emotional Lives of Animals, pages 36 to 39, and other studies that have been done. Animals, they have a relationship with them, but there's no concept of grandchildren in the animal kingdom. There's no article, no grandparents, lions are buying Hanukkah gifts for their grandchildren. It doesn't happen. They don't have a musik of grandchildren. But yet what? Once it's in the DNA, they've done studies that you can have the great-grandchildren of rats, and that already once they developed this repulsion not to get too close to cedar wood because they associate an electric shock, even their grandchildren who were never sent an electric shock, it's already built in their DNA, we've got to stay away from the cedar wood. Why do Jews want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because Abram and Sarai passed the test of Lech Lecha, and they thereby ingrained, inculcated inside each and every one of us that we have this innate longing and yearning to go to Eretz Yisrael. Kibshan Eisha, Kedis Yitzchak, we got it from our forefathers, it's in our DNA. So right, Rav Dessler, we're proudly the B'nai Avram Yitzchak, we're messing it up for ourselves. No, on the contrary, we're saying to Hashem, don't look at me and judge me based on my actions. Know that in my heart of hearts, who am I? My real spiritual makeup, my spiritual DNA, is really as a scion, as a descendant of none other than the illustrious patriarchs and matriarchs. That's who I am. The Etzeb, my real essence is the son and the grandson of the Avos HaKadosh.
I would think it would be learned behavior. Did they take away those adult rats that were exposed and the children just... Did they learn from their parents not to go near it?
It could be. It could be. The one who was telling me over the study said and that it was kilo and grain. Now, lav davka, did they give them the chinuch? And that there was some type of repulsion that was built into it. In fact, this person telling me the study was a psychologist who read the study, and he told me that his made it famous, many lives, many masters, going into Pascha Gula, and he said that a lot of times it's not a past Gilgal, it's not past life regressions. A lot of times, why do people have a fear of flying, fear of heights? It could be because their ancestor, their parent might have been in a situation that they developed a fear of heights, and now they kilu yarshin to that from the parents. So there is a school and psychological thought that even those fears might have been ingrained. Some, again, psychoanalysis can be certain experiences and certain traumatic events and once fledgling years, but others say it might even go beyond that and might be based on things that affect the parents. Again, this is a machlokus in the world of psychology, so let's hear from a psychologist. Okay, and there we go, and there is such a science out there.
You said before that Hashem doesn't give us any power that we can handle. We know that with Paro, Hashem told Paro to punish us, and that was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Paro went overboard. So when you say more than we can handle, does that include what Paro did, or is that Bichirav Chashis in terms of Paro, and then we can be punished with more than we can handle?
So more than we can handle. In other words, there was a question of a certain amount of suffering that the Jews were supposed to suffer based on the Bris Min HaMesarim and the Gemara's discussion in the Darim Lamed Beis, Hashem's dialogue with Avraham Avinu. We had to suffer a certain amount. So the reason why we got out, according to those who shown him that, because Paro gave us a Avodas Parach, and that's why he had to suffer, because he gave us far more harsh and more severe labor. That's why we were able to get out after 210 as opposed to 400. So he gave us 400 years worth, sandwiched into 210 years. But we were still able to be sovelet. We were still able, it started breaking us to a certain degree, but we were still able to be sovelet. The problem was that Paro was supposed to distribute it over the course of 400 years, and instead he gave it far more severe. But it was still within the context of what the Jewish people can handle. Hashem will not give us anything that we cannot handle. I mentioned the story in the past of Rav Ephraim Zalman Bar Golias, the Shaar Ephraim. Huge Talmid Chacham who happened to be extremely, extremely wealthy. And one time someone came over to him and said that one of his ships carrying millions of dollars worth of goods sank in the sea, and he fainted on the spot. And another Godel came over and he whispered something in his ear, and right away he got up. And they asked the Godel, he says, what do you say? He says, I'm telling you, your ship did not sink at sea. And he got right up. So they asked the other Godel, he says, how do you know? He says, because Hashem won't give a person more than he can handle. And if he fainted right away, the Shaar Ephraim, such a Baal HaMudah B'Tochad, if he fainted, it must be, and that it didn't really happen. It's not Shaykh, because Hashem wouldn't give a person something he couldn't handle. It belonged to somebody else, not to him. Hashem is not going to give you one answer. So a person says, I know a person who calls me every once in a while and says, I'm going to break, I'm at the breaking point. I says, you know what? Every once in a while, I tell the person, I said, you know what? You told me 5 years ago you're at the breaking point. And you tell me 4 years ago you're at the breaking point. And 3 years ago and 2 years ago. I said, no, but now I'm really at the breaking point. I said, at the end of the day, Hashem kept you going 5 years ago and 4 years ago and 3 years ago. You have to believe Hashem will never give you 1 ounce more than you can. It's all to perfect you and make you the biggest and best person you can be.
I remember something about that, even though that it was concentrated into that month of years, that there was something that Hashem gave that because came out early, that we have to work it on another.
Then now it's attributed, according to some afarshim, we're still suffering. Same with Chet Ego. Chet Ego, Chazal say, and that punishment, it's not that Hashem changed his mind and said, I'm not going to destroy the Jewish people, but instead Hashem says, I'm going to disperse it over the course of many, many centuries, and every century will suffer Yisurin to go out and make up. That's why some Sfarim even say, why we have a Holocaust and so many things in Ephesel the Mashicha, horrors beyond belief. It's because only once we're getting to the very end, and now there's still a certain measure, a certain amount of suffering that the Jews have to endure until we can get to the Gula Shlema. If we want the Gula earlier, we have to suffer a lot more in those last remaining years so we can endure that final cleansing and purging process to ready ourselves for Yom HaShoah.
There are people that crack. I mean, there are situations where
yes,
people are given more than they can handle.
Yes, there are situations. That person has to know that it doesn't mean, again, there are certain people who might have certain mental illnesses and they don't have coping techniques. A person still has to realize that we have therapists out there, we have psychologists, we have psychiatrists, we have medication. Hashem did still create the shtalos. Some people might need those external means to assist them in getting through it. But there are means. If it's in the Torah, like the Chafetz Chaim used to say, a person says, how do you go through life without speaking Lashon Hara? Chafetz Chaim said he went through life without speaking Lashon Hara. If it's in the Torah, that means the Yecholus is it. The ability is there to do it. Hashem gives everybody the Koach. There are some people who crack in means and that they might have had a mental breakdown. They lost the Kalim to deal with it. They had the Kalim essentially, but something else happened that caused them to crack. Or perhaps they did not seek every available device at their disposal that could have assisted them. There are people who cry because they were afraid to seek help. They didn't go to rabbis, they didn't go to guidance counselors, they didn't go to psychologists or psychiatrists or get the right medication. They didn't seek the right help. So sometimes that can happen as well. Okay, let's go on. Just we have a few more psukim to cover. Okay, and then I'll stay extra to take on the questions regarding this point. So that was all explained. Rashi says, he can give charity, and that will take the place. And he continues the latter half of the pasuk, piggybacking on this opening statement. that they're all, how about I, it's interdependent. Meaning what? And you're right, Shlomo says, if you have money, you can redeem your soul, and that can act as a kapara when your body or your life was supposed to suffer. But it's only on condition that Rosh, that when you give the money to the poor, lowly person, no, Shamar, he doesn't hear any reproach, he doesn't hear any chastisement, meaning don't humiliate him, don't embarrass him. Yes, tzedakah works, but only when you do tzedakah in the right manner. Many people have Shochan Kinesh, yeah, but again, tzedakah, how come this didn't happen? Did you give the right amount of tzedakah? Did you give tzedakah with the right intentions? What were your kavanas when you gave the tzedakah? So it's over here. You got to make sure not to embarrass the poor person. Davar Acher, Rashi says, another pshat in the Vilna Gaon highlights this in the Kuda as well. What is the real wealth in this world? It's your Torah. It's your Torah. Your Torah can be a kapara. Avarash b'divrei Torah lo shama gara inu yodei alasim ro. But if someone is poor, poor in the sense that you're poor, you don't have enough Torah, you didn't learn enough Torah, then you don't know how to stay away from wickedness in this world. For us, Vashomagara, the poor person doesn't know how to stay away and be careful from not sinning. So we have either reference to actual money or reference, Rashi says, I'll be the drush at the Divrei Torah. And then Rashi cites a third opinion, a Medrash Acher. A Machatzis HaShekel Medaber. And that Shlomo is referring back to the Machatzis HaShekel. Shehita Lakosa HaKol Yisrael. And why did Hashem give Machatzis HaShekel to show that the Ani is going to give the same amount as the Asher? Asher lo yarbe, ha'Ani lo yamit. Everybody's going to give the same amount, and that's what we see. Everybody is the same in Hashem's eyes. And when it comes to Machatzis HaShekel, which was a pidyon nafsho, the Jews sin in Chet Ha'egel. They now have to give a machatzis a shekel, a chaper, a lenevish. That's why the Baal HaTurim points out the getting apostasy. So the gematria of shekel, shin, kuf, lamed, is gematria 430. The gematria of nefesh, nun, fe, shin, likewise, gematria 430. The shekel will take the place of the nefesh. That's a remiss to this idea that your osha, your wealth, can be a kapara, can be a pidyon nafsho. Shekel, same gematria of 430, as a gematria for nefesh. But how much of a shekel did we bring? Only a machatzis a shekel. Why? Writes the Al Shekel Kodesh in the beginning of Kesisa. Because only half the neshama sinned. We know a zocher and a keva. A husband and wife is all right. And I love duchra plag gufa mikri. A zocher is only half of a soul. Only the males sinned in chet egel. The woman didn't sin. She only needs to bring a machatzis a shekel to be machaper for half of the nefesh. Only one half of the nefesh needed a kapara, the male half of the nefesh. That's what Al Shach says. Only the males had to bring a machatzis a shekel as a kapara for themselves. The woman didn't have to bring a machatzis because they didn't sin. So they didn't need any kapara. Only half the neshama needed a kapara. So that's Kofar Nefesh Shashro, Avarash, but the downtrodden person, Alo Shamagara, doesn't have to go ahead and hear the reproach and hear the heckling from the Oshir, because in the case of Machatzis HaShekel, the poor individual is given the identical amount. And notice how we have various terminologies for a poor person. Here, the Navi uses the Lashon Rosh, and Rosh means destitute and lowly. The Medrash Tehillim says in Kapitel Chavez Ayelas HaShachar that we talk on Purim about how Esther says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani. Hashem, Hashem, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the statement uttered by Esther. The Medrash says that when Esther saw Klal Yisrael in a state of Mach V'Rosh, Mem Chav Sofit, Rosh, that's our word, Areshin, when she saw that Klal Yisrael, Mach is a lowliness that conveys the sense that you feel stepped upon. That's Mach. Mach is, I'm stepping upon, that's a lowly person. And Rosh is destitute. Rosh is someone who's left with nothing, penniless type of person. When she saw that the Bnei Yisrael in the time of Purim were Mach V'Rosh, she cried out to Hashem, Keili, Keili, Lama Zavtani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Writes Rav Shimshon Rosh Tapoya, a beautiful remes, he's a famous Mekubal, who was killed in the Gezeiros Tach V'Tat, one of the biggest Mekubal we've had in the last few centuries. And he writes in a Sefer Nitzutzei Shamshon, what was Esther really saying? And we know from the Ramban and other Rishonim, when the Jews are on top, what are we called? Not Yaakov, we're called Yisrael. And Yisrael, you mix around the letters, and what do you spell? Li Rosh. Li Rosh. Rosh, the top, belongs to me. Lirosh Yisrael is Loshen Sroor, dominion, sovereignty. When we're on top, we're called Yisrael. Esther looked around at the time of Purim, saw what Ahasuerus and Haman, these nefarious individuals, were doing to the Jewish people, and she cried out when she saw the Jews were Machmirash, Kaili, Aleph Lamad Yud, really, Eli, Eli, Lama Zavtani, my God, why have you forsaken me? When you say in the context of a posse, you'll learn to say Hashem's name. Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtani, Aleph Lamad Yud, Aleph Lamad Yud. What was she hinting to? She saw the Jews were Mach Barash. The Jews are supposed to be Yisrael. What happens when you take the letters Aleph, Lamed, Yud away from Yisrael? What do you? Who people? Michael. Michael is Osios Malachi. Hinei Anochi Shalech. Malachi Levanecha. Michael is the Malach that always protects the Jewish people. Michael is Mach with Aleph, Lamed, Yud. We're supposed to be Yisrael, protected by Michael. All of a sudden, the Jews were now on the brink of extinction. Esther cries out, she saw the Jews were in a state of Mach Verosh. She cried out, Kaili, Kaili, at the Aleph Lamed Yud of Mach, of Michael, why'd you leave me? And now you left the Jews in a state of Mach. Aleph Lamed Yud a second time, the Aleph Lamed Yud of Yisrael, why did you leave me in a state of Rosh? Because that's Yisrael, without the Aleph Lamed Yud, is in a state of Rosh, that's Mach Verosh. When are we lowly, when are we downtrodden? When you take my God away from me, then you leave me in a state of feeling destitute, impoverished, and stepped upon. Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtani, bring me back the Aleph Lamed Yud of Michael, and now I'll go from Noch to Michael, bring me back the Aleph Lamed Yud of Yisrael, and I'll become once again Yisrael and not a Rosh. That is Pasuk Ches. On to Pasuk Tes. Our Tzadikim Yismach Menei Rosham Yidach. The light of Tzadikim, of the righteous ones, and Yismach will bring the joy. But the candle of Rishom Yedach will flicker out, as Rashi says, Loshen Kefitzo. It will jump, Shashalevis Kofetzis and Chresis, right before the flame of a candle gets extinguished. It does one last flickering, one last jump, and then it is gone. Turning back quickly to Perek Vav, Pasuk of Gimel. What did we read at the very end of Perek Vav, Pasuk of Gimel? There, the same Shlomo Melech already told us, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or V'Derech Chaim Tilchos Musar. A mitzvah is likened to an air, and Torah is likened to or. Why? Or is something that's eternal, or is something that lasts, like the or of the sun. The light of the sun is always there. Yotzei Hashemesh Begvraso, the light of the sun is keeping the world going. An air, a candle is something, depends on how much fuel, how much shemen, how much oil is fueling, or how much of wick or wax you have fueling the flickering candle. The second it takes, you remove the external source of fuel, and then the candle goes out. A candle, by definition, is something that's temporary, and or something that's eternal. That's why. What is this idea? Or tzadikim yismach, writes in the Mitzvot David, and nishmas tzadik tisrech began Eden. And the neshama of a tzadik, which lasts forever, that's or that lasts forever, ner mitzvah torah, avon nishmas harosha tia kivuya, and the Torah, the neshama of Arusha, will be destroyed, will not make it into Olam Haba. And the Ner of Arusha, by definition, a Ner is something that goes out with the passage of time, and that's Yidach, will flicker, will do one last jump. And the Rabbeinu Bachai writes in his Kata Kemach, and that you see sometimes the Rishoyim, and by Ikra Sadi Mashiach, they seem to be on top, right before they get destroyed, just like a candle, right before it goes out, it gives one last jump. It tries its best to give one last kefitza, and it tries to jump and make itself known, and it looks like it's on top of the world, and then it flickers out, and then it's done with. Right, so Beinu Bachai, the Goyim are going to have a shlita over Yisrael right before Mashiach comes, which is what we see is happening, because it's the last kefitza before they get extinguished once and for all. But the light of a tzaddik, and Ner Hashem Nishrasandam, and the light of a tzaddik goes on forever. And that is what the Gro writes as well. Hayom Nikror, Pasuk says, Vayikro Lekim Lor Yom, and Olam Haba is Doma to a Yom. And that's the light, that's eternal, infinite light, and that's the Neshama of a tzaddik. Tzaddikim, they're all about Olam Haba, they're all about the Or of Torah. Hashem and the Rishoyim, and they are likened to something that goes out, because they're all about Olam Hazeh, and Olam Hazeh is the world of Choshech. Olam Hazeh is going to be an end to Olam Hazeh. Gemara Vodazor Daf Tes Sanhedrin Sani Zayin Amud Aleph. The world is only going to last 6,000 years. This world is finite. This world is not going to go on forever. And that's the Ner, Ner Rishom Yidach. But the Or Tzadikim will always go on forever. As the Ibn Ezra, he gives two Pirushim. Pirush Acha writes the Ibn Ezra Yitoch in Lios. Ha'or Vaner Remez L'Nishmosim Hatzulam Eor Hashem. the neshama of a tzaddik is likened to the Hashemesh, which is always zoreach, and the neshama of a rosh is likened to an er, she'en lo hamada v'yichla, it has no standing, it's going to be put out, v'amr yisra kinyan tagal nafshi, that the light of a tzaddik will always rejoice. He knows that he's going to go on forever. There's a nitzchias of the neshama. And that's why Rav Zalman Volozhin writes in the Sefer Tovos Adam. We know Bacha, Vakir, Tamid, and Alachas. All 613 mitzvahs come down to what? The Gemara says in the end of Makir, Chavdal, and Amin Aleph, that if you want to sum up the essence, the yesod, the foundation, of all 613 mitzvahs, it comes down to what? Bacha, Vakir, Chavakir, Kanavi says, Ba, Tamid, and Alachas. All 613 could stand on one single leg called Tzadik B'Menosar Yechir. A Tzadik who lives with Emunah. There's a reason. You open up the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. Very first mitzvah is Emunah. Anok Yishom HaKev is the foundation, the yesod upon which all the tiny mitzvahs are based. And what does it mean, Emunah? So the Poshup Shad is Emunah B'Hashem. If you have Emunah B'Hashem, you have everything. Life comes down to Emunah B'Tacha. Adds to Rezama B'Hashem. It's deeper than that. Tzadik B'Emunah So Yechir. He will live with the Emunah, then he's going to live forever. Because he knows the real essence is not the guf that decomposes, that decays, that gets buried 6 feet under. He knows his real essence is the neshama. And he knows the neshama is a chelek aloka mimal, and just as God is infinite, he knows that the real neshama, a tzaddik lives life, b'emunah so, with the emunah that he's going to go on forever, and that's yichid, that's what gives him chiyas. What gives him chiyas? Even when he feels the yisurin, and he feels the suffering, he knows that's physical suffering to what? To my guf, to my body, to my life here in this world. But I know that my neshama is going to go on for all nitzchias. And that's what gives him the chias, the ability to go weiter, to go on, because that's the real you. The real you is the neshama, and that's the R. Ner mitzvah v'torah R, writes the Gro, back again, Vav Chav Gimel, a mitzvah is likened to an air. A mitzvah is something temporary. A mitzvah is making the shaisa. A mitzvah can protect you when you're doing the mitzvah. Torah protects you even when you're not doing a mitzvah. Torah is a 24/7 protection. It's always shielding you. That's what's special about the Ora Torah. So Ora Tzadikim Yismach, that's what always makes Tzadikim happy. What do you mean? But even when they're suffering, they know they will have eternal joy. Yismach, Oz Yimoli Sukhapino in the future, because they know that their neshama is going to go on forever, but the neshama of Rasha is going to flicker out and die. And that's why it doesn't simply say that it's going to die. It's going to flicker. Rashi says it'll jump, meaning, well, it'll have its good times. And the neshama of Rasha will have its good times, and it'll flicker, and he'll make a lot of noise and make a lot of light. Fireworks! And the fireworks go out. I always say camps waste so much money. Fireworks, so much money is spent, it'll last for, it's all ephemeral, it's all transit. How long does it last? And it goes out. That's the going, July 4th. How do they celebrate their independence? Fireworks! Fireworks, right? And then by the next morning, that's it, it's already gone. It's already gone. We have a Rosh Hashanah. The road we prepare, 30 days, Elul for Rosh Hashanah. We prepare it all year. But certainly, Elul, 30 days for Rosh Hashanah. And then it'll last forever. Hunger used to admonish his Talmidim. People say, oh, how was your Pesach? Oh, how was Pesach? Oh, my Pesach was nice. He never used to like when people would refer to the Yom Tov in the past tense. What do you mean Pesach was nice? That's not over and done with. The whole Indian of Amoy is take the Pesach and chop and be collate the hashpots and itzotz of the sparks of the Yom Tov and take it with you, Vayter, going forward in life. How was my Pesach? I'm still feeling Pesach right now. I'm taking Pesach with me and I'm using it as an impetus for further growth. I never liked when people refer to them in the past tense. They're not in the past. And they're always used to spur us to future growth as well. Continue Shlomo. Rak v'zadon yitein matzah. Assistant matzah. Over here matzah is Rashi says machlokes. Yinatsuni. It means conflict, dispute, fighting. Rak v'zadon. Only when people do things impetuously, willfully, and that brings about machlokes in the world. Rashi says, "Machlokes v'snotzim chokma." Where are you going to find wisdom? You're going to find wisdom in Mamas Yatsin Tanachacha. Where does wisdom rest? With those who take counsel, who seek advice from other people. As we mentioned many times, the brother of Marami Prague in the Sefer Chaim, and Rosh Hashanah in Sefer Pirnia, Talmud Chochem is called a Talmud Chochem. It is Aleph Halomi Mikolodom. An emistic of Chochem is one who is always learning. You always make yourself a Talmud. Hey, how should I say? And it's called Tzavi L'Cholamayim. A thirsty person always wants to get more Torah. Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg used to say, doctors tell us we should drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. How many people are meticulous to make sure that not a day goes by without 8 glasses of water? Why is it so hard to do? All doctors agree it's great to flush out the system, to drink a lot of water. You know why? Because it's hard to drink water when you're not thirsty. We're not singers here. But it's hard to drink water when you're not thirsty. Right? Soda, juice, coffee, you'll have even when you're not thirsty. Torah is compared to Mayim, right? The Gemara Titus comes out of it off. You know why? Explain to Yaakov Weinberg, because Torah, you got to be thirsty for it. You'll drink as much water. When you're thirsty for water, you'll drink 8 glasses in a second because you're thirsty for it. Torah is, you got to be thirsty for it. The ones who want it, that means however much chokhmah you already have, you're a talmid chokhmah. You always make yourself a talmid, always ready to learn more. Alomi mikolodam, and that's a true chokhmah. That's the Mitzvah's David. All right, so here, but he adds another interesting nekuda. So, like Rashi, right, Mitzvah's David, if you have a person doing things willfully, then it's going to cause what? Fights and conflicts. But if they always seek counsel, and you do things patiently, then you know who starts machlekes? People who can't control their anger, and they act impetuously, and they react instantly. Stop, count to 10, count to 100. Stop, and down the couch goes. So what about being patient, down the couch goes? Somebody sent me recently a story of a mother who was cooking in the kitchen, and a daughter had 2 apples. And a daughter went over to her mom and said, Mommy, I have 2 apples. Would you like an apple? And the mother said, sure, honey, I'd love to have an apple. And before she reached for an apple, the daughter went and took 2 bites, 1 bite out of each apple. And the mother started to get so angry and disappointed. My daughter offers me an apple, and now before she hands it to me, she takes a bite out of both apples. And the mother was about to react and say, what's going on? How could you do that? The daughter then says, Mommy, I just wanted to taste them both to see which one was sweeter so I could give you the sweeter apple.
Wow.
How many times, the muscle, be patient. I always say, what's the first lesson on the pages of Pirkei Avos? Before everything else, before I even learn what the Torah rests on, the pillars of the world, the very first and most important message in all of the chapters of the Fathers is what? Have a mesunim vadin. Be patient. Don't judge everybody. Because that stops machlekes. That stops getting upset. Stop. Just be patient. Have a mesunim. Take your time. And just judge everybody that comes close. Have a mesunim, but then be patient. And that's the Mitzvah's David over here. Notzim. That's what it means. Either be patient or seek advice. Meaning, well, ask a shayla. Before you say the lashon hara, ask a shayla. And just going and asking a shayla will prevent so many mistakes. The Sforno writes in Parshas Vayesha. You so to stick a Sforno. Why is it that you can go to Shirim, you can daven your heart out, and you can still do Averis? You know the Yitzhara even gets people. He gets you to do what? Without thinking first. It's called, writes the Sforno, the Poel HaPitomi. Poel HaPitomi is, what do you see sometimes? You react, and they say, oh, how do I just do that? How do I just say that? Because the Yitzhara got you. The Yitzhara says, don't be patient. Act in haste, act right away. Towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your kids. Act in haste, judging your Hashem. Take your time, be patient. Be patient. How many times do we judge when Hashem does things in our life? And we say, Hashem, how can you do that to me? And then instead, what? We're patient, and then we see why Hashem had to do that. Years ago, I was staying by a friend's house in Eretz Yisrael, and I was there for a few days. I was staying in the house, and a friend came over to me one day and said that his wife was pregnant, about 7-8 months pregnant, she just lost her child. And they had to go to the hospital, they were going to be leaving the house. And he said, you know, I said, do you want? You want me to go and stay someplace else? If you want, I'll stay by another person. I feel bad being in the house. No, we're just letting you know what's going on. But absolutely, you're a guest. We want you to be in the house. We're just going to be away now for the whole day. But we want you to be in the house. I make a long story short. It was about a week after she lost her baby. True story. And I know the family well. Her sister was diagnosed with a severe case of leukemia. And had such a high red blood cell count, she needed a match. And of course, you always want a match from the family. There are 9 kids in the family. And 7 kids in the family. Sorry, 7 kids. 9, including the parents. So you want a match. There were 9 people who were tested. And out of everybody tested, the only one who had a matching bone marrow for this sister to save her life. And had she been pregnant with the child, she would not have been allowed to undergo that procedure. And she would not have been able to save her sister's life. Hashem took away that child. And here, a week later, she saved her sister's life. Make a long story short, but adding another nekuda because the story ain't over until it's over. And the sister got better, Baruch Hashem, her life was saved. The sister went on to get married, healthy, is alive and well today, and has her own family, Baruch Hashem. And a short while later, she got pregnant again and had a healthy child, the one who had lost the child. So imagine now right away, Hashem, how can you do this? Heaven is soon begun. Don't judge Hashem right away. Be patient. Sometimes you hold out, and Sforno Kabbalah talk. Sometimes you only see it every year, every 7 years. every 70 years, but just wait, and sometimes we figure out later why certain events have to transpire the way they did. Just be patient, and don't judge Hashem. Be patient, seek advice, ask shailas, and that prevents so much machlokas in the world. Hon mehevel yimad v'kovei tzayad harbe. Others, a lot of wealth, hon, a lot of possessions, but if it's gathered from hevel avolim for all vain pursuits, ayimat, he gradually will lose it. As the Vilna Gaon writes, easy come, easy go. Ki kemo shebolo bakal, kach yelech merakal. It came easily, it's going to go away easily. That's already where it came from, right? Easy come, easy go. And the other day, you might lose it. If you got it, and all from vain pursuits, you're not necessarily going to keep it. Kolatziyah, but if you gather it with your hand, meaning what? From your own maisei yadayim, from your own yagiyah, it didn't come easily. But you shvitz, you worked, and you gathered by hand. Kolatziyah v'yad. And one day at a time, little bit by little bit, and Yarba, that's how you're going to go ahead and ultimately come out on top. And that's what the girl writes. Misha Kobitz Mat Mat Biyagia Kapo. If you gather a little bit every day, the people are always looking for the next multi-million-dollar deal and they want to become rich overnight, it doesn't always happen. They can make the money and they can lose it the very next day. But the people who have an honest living and they make a little bit day by day, and that's how you grow. And that's the way it works in exercise. People want to go ahead and they want to lose weight overnight. It doesn't happen. People want to get muscles overnight. It doesn't happen. Anything meaningful and everlasting in life is any diet that promises you 30 days off. It doesn't work that way. It certainly isn't going to last. Any rehab, it's a process. It's one day at a time. And that's all Hashem wants. Dafyomi, you can't finish Shas overnight. You've got to spread it out over 7.5 years. It just is one daf at a time. And one day at a time, one day eating properly at a time, sleeping properly. It's all one day at a time. And that's already Shlomo Melech. There's so much Chochma in every single line and every single pasuk, and little by little, that's how you gain, and that's how you grow in Yiddishkeit. And I tell you, working in Eishet Torah for 6 years, we had this happen all the time. Yeah, people come in, people were not from Bali Tshuva, and they come in and they get so excited by Yiddishkeit, and they learn about Shabbos and about Yom Tov and about Tefillin and about Tzitzis and Yarmulke, and right away they want to do the whole nine yards, and they want to grow beards, and they want to have a chulei, and they're putting on Tefillin and Shabbos and Yom Tov. And if you do it all at once, it just doesn't last. And the whole chop is, you can't tell anyone to do an issa. You don't tell them to turn the light on Shabbos. We just don't tell them everything about Shabbos. We don't tell them about tzitzis right away. We don't tell them about all the mitzvahs right away. Because tafastam ruba lo tafastam. If you try and grab onto too much, too quickly, it just doesn't last. And there are too many cases of Bali Tshuva, they try to change a major upheaval, and on the first month, the first week when they get there, and it doesn't stay, and they lose it. The whole tachlis is, little by little. Today we're learning about tefillin. For this week, for this month, you're going to work on tefillin. Then you're going to work on tzitzis. Then you're going to work on Shabbos. We're only going to teach you about this section of Shabbos, and then this section of Shabbos, and this section of Shabbos, until it always has to work the way. It's the same thing. Going cold turkey, unless you're a Chaim Brisker, used to smoke, and when they told him about the dangers of smoking, you have to realize it wasn't until January 1st, 1971, that's when you had lung cancer and the associations with cigarette smoking. But they already knew about some dangers. They used to think cigarette smoking was good for you. So the Chaim Brisker, he used to smoke, and they told him that they heard reports that smoking might be bad for you. He put down the cigarette, and he never touched a cigarette for the rest of his life. And that's a pure of Chaim Soloveitchik. But not anybody has that gemura. All therapists will tell you it doesn't work the way cold turkey. I always tell people, I just had people in my office this morning. And I always tell people, if you like rock and roll music and you want to give it up, or TV, movies, etc., a person who says, I'm never going to do it again, it doesn't happen. It's got to be what? Piecemeal. It's got to be for the next 3 to 6 months, I'm going to give this up. And then I'm going to give this up. I was dealing with somebody recently, and they want to give up movies. I said, first thing is, I said, anything rated R and above, that you got to get off the radar screen. So for the next 3 to 6 months, that you got to get rid of. Then they said, I said, you decide how much you're going to, for the next 3 to 6 months, for the next year, then you're only going to watch PG-13. Then you're going to go down to year only PGs. And then you'll make it a 2 years, and then you'll go down to only rated Gs. And then you go down to only animated Disney films. And then only animated Disney films with your grandchildren. And that could take, for some people, that could be over a year, 2 years. Some people would be over 10 years. All you got to do is, it's one day at a time. It's one piece of a puzzle, and that's Kobe Tzayyad. It works away in everything. Same thing that Rashi says it here in the Pasuk, and that the first Yisrael says it in his parish at the end of the first parak of Amos, when Shammai says, I say to us, Akeva, first of all, brings many different explanations. And one is, people get interested in learning. And what do they do? And the Anna Salaam, boys and girls, go to Tzol, the yeshivas and seminaries, and they get turned on to Torah. So I got to learn everything. I got to know Chumash, I got to know Nach, and I got to learn Rishonim, and I got to learn Musar, and I got to learn Mashom, and I got to learn Mashach, and I got to learn the world. And what if they want to learn so much? And the other day, what do you have? You have nothing. aftafas, you try and learn too much, and in one fell swoop, you end up with nothing. How do you grow in learning? What is my seder hayom? What do I have to do today? Chavetz Chaim used to say, "V'har yu'advar ma'ila shanochim etzel chayom ala v'nacha." V'dibarta b'almahu b'devei Torah k'siv. So it's an instruction how you approach devei Torah. Right? So Chavetz Chaim, you know what the instruction is? "V'har yu'advar ma'ila." Don't think about how much Torah you have to learn in the future. "V'har yu'advar ma'ila." Just focus right now. All I got to think about is Mishlei Perek Yud Gimel. That's all I got to think about. "V'har yu'advar ma'ila." Just look at these words. Don't think about the rest of Torah. Then I can't. Don't look at what everybody else is learning, what everybody else is accomplishing. Don't judge yourself based on everybody else's standards. Your yardstick is respective to you. And then Asher Nochim Mitzvcha Hayom. Just look today. Don't look at what you have to do tomorrow. What do I have to do today? Am I eating properly today? Am I getting enough sleep today? Am I learning the Torah I have to do today? One day at a time. That's all you got to do, is take life one day at a time, and that's how we grow, and that's how we accomplish. And Yiddishkeit and Torah and Ruach Hakodesh, anything meaningful and everlasting is when it was done Kobi Tzayan, when you have the Shvitz. Notice, yes, it's about Amelis Batarat and Machokas Atelati, Amelis Batarat. But the Navi still says, the Tachas is, whatever you do in life, you got to work. If you want to go ahead, eat right, sleep right, learn right, it's all got to be what? With a Chokhmah, it's got to be with patience. And I think that's another idea why it piggybacks on the preceding verse, because it's got to be with patience, it's got to be one day at a time. Don't get angry, be patient. Seek counsel, ask Shilus. Take a one day at a time and make those cheshbonos as follows. One final pasuk for today. Atocheles, numushocha, amach lelev, aveitz chaim taivabo. Atocheles is hope. Atop, machel, someone hopes for something. Atocheles, numushocha. If you have, though, a drawn out hope, amach lelev, that's going to bring a disease, ailment to the heart. Writes Rashi. Matiach atzmo chavero, veina osa. If you put your trust in your friend, and your friend didn't carry through with his or her promise, mach lalev meviyach choli lalev. It makes you sick. It makes you sick. It sickens the heart. Ve'mach lazeh shein dover. So what does it do? It's a machla, and you feel let down, you feel disappointed. And that's why it's never good to promise anyone anything. I even mentioned in the past, I still remember I was 19 years old, and I was escorting my Rebbe back from Shir, back to his home, and I was talking, and I just said, "Oh, Rebbe, I promise," and he stopped me, and I'll never forget it. And he said, "A yid never says the word I promise. And I'm not going to promise it to you, but I don't think from that that I've helped me a lot of time, because I have stucco collectors who come from all over the world. And there have been many a time that a stucco collector comes around and says, "Rabbi Fein, atavtachtali, you promised me. You said you were going to give me $360. You promised me $250. And usually the amounts are very, very off. But either way, I said to him, I didn't promise a lot. I said, "Let me tell you the story." I said, "I was 19. I said, "This happened about 25 years ago. I could take you today to Ne'er Yisrael campus, and within 10 inches, I could walk you to that same exact spot where my Rebbe looked me in the eye and said, 'A yid never says the word I promise.' And since that day, I've never said the word I promise. Never said the word. Because a Jew doesn't say promise. We promise. And then we say, why say Bli Nether? What if you forgot to say Bli Nether? You don't promise a friend something, because what happens if you don't carry it through? A person gets disappointed. Yaakov Kerensky says, you never promise a child something, and then you don't give it to the child. Because if you don't give it to the child, the child thinks, a person doesn't have to keep the promises. You said you're going to give the child, you always give the child. And with that, Eitz Chaim Tevabot. But when the desire is attained, and then you feel an Eitz Chaim, oh, renewal of life, the tree of life, you feel life back, and that is Tevabot. That's when the promise reaches fruition, and that's all different ballgame. The Gross says, this has to do with Torah and Tefillah as well. The Gemara even brings it, Brachas on the base, on the base. Someone who waits and says, "Okay, Hashem, I'm making a deal with you. I'm going to daven my heart out. And I'm going to daven to get a shidduch, to get a child, to get money." And we daven, we daven, we daven, and Hashem doesn't answer, and we start getting sick. And we start losing faith in Hashem. But that's called Iyud Tefillah. And Iyud Tefillah is looked down upon. We think, "Okay, Hashem, I'm going to give you all my tefillahs, all my heartfelt tefillahs, and you're going to answer them." Who says? Hashem isn't promising us anything. Hashem is listening to every single tefillah. But we have to put our trust, Hashem is in the driver's seat. When we think we control our faith, oh, if I doubt in this amount of times, then for sure I'm going to get answered. And when we don't get answered, that makes us despondent, and it makes us crestfallen. The idea is, I'm doubting because I want to doubt. And I mentioned the story of a friend of mine who doubted for years to have children, and he was told by doctors, physically, you will never have a child. And they examined him and his wife. They said, it's impossible. Medically, you will not have children. I said, a friend of mine, I know the case personally. And they went to the Kotel, and they decided, okay, the doctor said they're never going to have children. So they went to the Kotel for a week. They took off from work. And they went for a week and they just davened Shacharis and Kamar. They davened at the Kotel all day long. And all they said was, okay, Hashem, doctors said they can't do it. We're putting all our faith in you, but we accept whatever you do, we accept. They came back a week later, she got there. And now they have 5 kids today. Doctor said they'll never have kids. At the end of the day, you can't daven for expectations. You have to daven just to daven. Just to daven. It was a punter. We have a sign, somebody made a sign that Hashem doesn't, we don't daven to get out of trouble. Hashem gives us troubles. Awaken us up to daven. We have to daven just to daven. So that's the Vilna Gaon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, don't wait. Just do what? Do the Ratzon of Hashem. And then Hashem, Taiva Ba, Hashem will give you all that your heart desires. He'll give you everything that you need to get to your Shleimus. But if your friend promises a friend something, you have to make sure to keep it. And what is this idea? I just want to close with this idea of friendship. At the Torah Masorah Convention, where I had this chus of being on this past Shabbos, so the speaker right before me on Shabbos afternoon quoted Rav Shimon Schwab in selected speeches from Chinuch on being a friend to your children. Not to be a friend to one's children. You're a parent to your children. You're not a friend. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman speaks about this as well. And the book, Leading with Love, he talks about it as well. I think it's page 225. But he speaks about this idea as well. Chinuch is, you're not a friend. You're not a buddy with your children. You can be friendly with your children, but you're a parent. So, he writes as follows. One's father, again, you have to be a close friend, but you're not a buddy. Rav Hirschatzal explains that the word rea, friend, we've spoken about rea in the past, the idea of broken up pieces, that we're all connected, because we're all broken up pieces, one from the other. Rav Hirschatzal explains that the word rea, friend, derives from the word mira, which is a pasture. A shepherd is a roe who guards his flock in the pasture. What is a friend? A friend is one who offers himself or herself like a pasture for another to graze upon. And that is a rea. And where does a Hirsch write this? So I called him this morning and I told him I found 2 places where a Hirsch writes this. And Brace is Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. And later on, a Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chavav. And here a Hirsch writes as follows. Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. I'm sorry, it's in Parshas Noach. And by the Dohna Flago. Sorry, Vav, you find it one second. That's wrong. And here it is. It's in Perikin Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. I'm sorry, Perikin Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. It's in the end of Parshas Noach. Because here you have Re'eo for the first time. Yomer Isha Re'eo by the door of Lago. Right, so first, Re'eo stems from the root Ra, Reish Ayin Hei. Reish Ayin Hei is applied to animals and to pasturage. In reference to animals, Re'eo means to graze and seek food and sustenance. In reference to pasture, it means to provide food and sustenance. Indeed, this is how everyone should relate to his neighbor. Every person should be a mira for his neighbor, Re'ehu. They should help each other to complement each other and always be a shoulder to lean upon. Be that grazing ground that another could always feel like he could go there for sustenance. That's a rea. That is true friendship. And therefore, write to Rashi, friend, something to another friend, and you're not going to do it because that's going to cause them. They're coming to you to lean upon you, and you're letting them down, and that's going to cause them to fall into a crestfallen, despondent state. And therefore, what? It's kind of bring them back to life. Taiva ba, give them their desires once you promise it to them, and make sure that they can attain a fulfillment. And by the Vada, the Ikar is not in the Gashmias, it's in the Ruchnias. But that's the idea of being a friend, is always be there to have a shoulder so your friend can lean on and graze upon Kilo, to be there to sustain. That's what Rea, Re'eo, Miret, to be a pasture land, fertile soil that your friends can always come and lean on you. We should be Zaychem et Hashem, to friendship with one another, with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to see Chaverim Kol Yisrael, to see the end of all suffering and return to Yerushalayim or HaKadosh. Have a wonderful day and a great week up there.
I'm sorry for collecting you.